Good morning.
Good morning.
I ran down there as fast as I could and realized why. I saw a joke one time. It said that the doctor had asked, how many times do you exercise? The answer was three times. The doctor said a week, a month. It said, I have said what I've said. That's about me right there. I've exercised maybe three times. A couple things. One, if you weren't here earlier, we were talking about the ARC. Your mom had emailed me. We're going to check schedules the weekend before Easter, April the 18th through the 20th. So if y'all just check schedules and then we'll talk about it next week and try to go ahead and get some final plans on the board, because that's about 3 months away. Two, I want to thank Jordan and Nick for having a wedding a year and a half ago. Because without you guys having that wedding, I wouldn't have these nice shoes. So my appreciation goes to you this morning. actually, I found out these are probably the most comfortable shoes that I own, because they have that memory foam in them. And it's really nice, especially when you're shoveling in them. That being said, last week we started a sermon. This week we're finishing it, hopefully. And I know some of you may have missed the opening part of it. We hadn't really even got fully to the meat of the message. There was actually two messages in one, so to speak. So I want to pick back up just quickly by saying, last week we started in Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to reread that this morning as we pick back up this morning. But it says, so when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he was 12, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor among God and men. And as we looked at this, we talked about misplacing Jesus, so to speak. There are many times that we have a relationship with Christ. There are many times that we have come to know Christ. I'm about to start this service with probably a controversial statement that's in the church today, and that is simply this. If you ever had the love, the true love for Christ, if you ever truly had that, then you haven't forgotten it, and you may misplace it every once in a while, but there's no possible way, if you truly love Christ, that you can ever not love him. And the reason I say that is the same thing with a marriage. It's the same thing with a lot of things. If you ever truly love someone, now, I think it's a lot easier to fall out of love with a human than it would be with Christ. But I still think that if there's true love in it, and it's a hard statement to make, but I believe that Mary and Joseph, I think it's impossible to imagine that Mary and Joseph just forgot Jesus and decided that they didn't love him anymore and left him. I think it's impossible for that to have been the case. The reason I start this way is because when we look at this, they took stock when they found Jesus missing. If you think about what the situation incurred here, They took stock of what was taking place. It even says that after 3 days they found him and he was talking with the teachers. He was questioning the teachers and they were amazed. Even then after he said, even after they said, well, didn't you know your father and I have been worried? And Jesus said, didn't you know I needed to be about my father's business? It still says that they didn't understand what he said. But it then says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. That Mary kept these things and she treasured these things. So as we look at this today, I want us to pick up on that moment where we left off last week, talking about how we can misplace Jesus and misplacing Jesus in that regard. And I believe that the same as was true for Mary and Jesus, they found Jesus missing. And of course they cared. And that spark that they had, that when they found him, their love for Christ had not died. They were simply distracted from it. That is the same thing that I'm saying about Christians today. If you are truly a Christian, if you've truly been saved by Christ, and you truly have love for Christ, you haven't forgotten Christ. It's just a simple matter of you've probably been distracted by something else. We get distracted a lot in life. I mean, you think about a marriage and you think about the struggles that go on in a marriage. There's distraction that can come your way. And sometimes that distraction heavily outweighs a relationship. And sometimes it's a hard thing to deal with. There's distraction that comes along in the lives between parents and children. It's not that children forget who supplied all their needs from the time they were born till they were 18. It's just that when they're 18, they become distracted by the world around them. And they forget to thank mom and dad every once in a while. You know, and it's not that parents neglect their children sometimes, if they truly love their children. Now, I mean, I do believe there are parents in this world that for some reason hate their children, and I've yet to figure that part out. I know I heard one woman talk one time saying that she hated her children because they ruined her body. I'm like, well, then you don't know anything about life. But, I mean, to me, those are the exception to the conversation. But I think that the spark of love still burns. Even if it burns dormant, it's still inside you and it's still there and it can still come out if the circumstances find themselves in the right place. We can still find Christ today, even if we think we've lost him, even if we feel that we've neglected him, even if we feel that we've displaced him or misplaced him, so to speak. We can still find him in our world today. Yes, the things around us might get distracting. Yes, the busyness of life. I am the world's worst. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I'm the world's worst when it comes to becoming busy in life. And that being said, I simply want to put it this way. Just because of that doesn't mean that I've forgotten Christ. It just means that some days I get distracted. I get distracted by the things that are going on. Just like with the church, I do my best to try to visit and, you know, I don't do a very good job of it. We've talked about this. There are many people in this church who probably think that I'm terrible at it. And the reality of it is that I've gotten so much going on. I'm a yes man, and I say it way too many times. Unfortunately, yesterday I had plans to go and visit a couple people, and honestly, my body shut down. It said stop, relax. I mean, I had to. I mean, I could not physically keep myself going yesterday. I had to thaw water out at my house. And then after we got done thawing the water out, my body just completely quit. I mean, I realized that if I didn't sit down, lay down, take care of myself for a moment, I wasn't going to be useful for anybody today or going forward. I mean, and we get to those points in our lives because we get so distracted by the world and by what people need around us. But see, things can become dormant. They might become hidden, but it's there. And I spoke last week about being honest with yourself. I spoke last week about there being an honesty, so to speak, with yourself about figuring out who you are and where you might have misplaced Christ. Well, here's the thing. There are two sides to this honesty. On one hand, we are honest that Christ is missing from our lives. But on the other, we're honest with our feelings about that. We accept whatever sadness or even anxiety that might come with that realization. Because the moment we recognize that Christ has been missing in our lives, the moment we become guilty in our own spirit, we become worrisome about, well, what does that mean for me? In other words, if we're honest about the love for him that remains, even if it's only a spark, remember, I just want to remind you, Charlie, you deal with the fire department. How big does a spark need to be to start a fire?
Not big at all.
Exactly. All you have to do is see a spark hit the wrong spot, and a fire can start. It just simply takes a small spark. I mean, remember the commercials with Smokey the Bear? How back in the day when only you could prevent a forest fire, and it would, and I think there's even one now where they're doing all these things with matches, and then it's basically asking the question, how many does it take to start a forest fire? And it just shows one. It only takes one match to start a forest fire. It only takes one spark to light your house on fire. It only takes one spark for anything to take place in that regard. So what are the first steps to us finding Christ again? They're the steps of an honest and good heart. We must be honest that Christ is missing in our lives. We must be honest that Christ is not present where we are. We must recognize that Christ is no longer who we where our focus has been. And then we've got to be honest too that we still love him. We've got to be honest with ourselves. But let me rephrase that just real quickly. It's not that we have to recognize whether we still love him. In reality, I think it's that we have to recognize whether we loved him at all. Sure. I mean, as Blake has reminded us on the Sunday nights, I think he even talked about it past Sunday night. And he said that for the longest time growing up, he felt like the only reason he became a Christian as young as he did was because he was scared of going to hell. I think that's how he worded it exactly. But I'm not 100% sure on the wording of that. But there's a lot of people today who are becoming Christians, especially at a young age, only because they're scared of the alternative. They've been feared, or they've been scared into making a decision that is really kind of devastating to them, because, you know, there's a lot of people in the church today who are living a life that's completely jaded to the fact that their relationship with Christ is still not enough to get them into heaven, because they think that they've become a Christian, but their whole reasoning behind it was just to stay out of hell. They didn't want to deal with that bad alternative. Well, guess what? If you don't have a relationship with him, if you are not in love with the Savior, then that's your destination regardless. And I don't say that to try to scare anyone. I say it to try to simply help us to understand that it is a relationship. To work on a relationship with him, we must talk to him. We must not displace him, so to speak. But see, here's the funny thing, is that when Mary and Joseph went back, they had displaced him. They started looking everywhere. We do that. I mean, really, the story I'm telling these last 2 weeks are solely about Mary and Joseph and the story of their life. They misplaced Christ. They thought he was here. They thought he was there. They thought he was in the midst of this or that. How many times does that sound like your life today? How many times does that sound like the life that you live today? You don't think you've misplaced him. You just go on about your journey. One day you wake up and you think, well, something's missing. Something's not right here. Something just doesn't jive with the way that it should. And then you start looking everywhere to figure it out. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's food. I'm really good at that. I'm a really good eater when it comes to being stressed out. I mean, I don't say that to brag on myself, because I'm not bragging. That's something I deal with. It's something I've got to overcome, because some days I get stressed out and just start throwing food in my mouth and don't even think about it. When my first instinct should probably be to pray and not eat. Fast. You know? Let go of that gives me comfort. I mean, fried chicken will fix a lot, but my goodness. Not when the Savior should be involved. And we get so wrapped up in the life that we have that what we need to realize is that sometimes we need to just take a step back and be honest. Sometimes we need to take a step back and look like Mary and Joseph did, and then backtrack our steps and say, where did I forget? Where did I lose my way? Where did I get off course? And we backtrack our way back. And it may take a couple days for us to find that moment that we forgot him. That moment that we left him. But I'm going to be honest with you. He's right where you left him. He's right in that moment where you left him. He's right there. And in fact, he's probably still right beside you. And he's walking back with you while you're backtracking your steps. And you're still not looking for him. Because he could probably get you on track a little faster if you just give him the moment. Give him the opportunity. But Mary and Joseph, they get back to the temple and they see Jesus teaching. And it's like a sermon that we hear that really triggers our imagination and says, oh wow, I've been wrong all these times. And we're amazed when we find it. We're amazed when we see it. And then we get upset. Then we get flustered. And God, why did you let me go off on this rabbit trail? Why did you let me go off on this tangent? Why did you let me go and do this or do that? And he says, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? And we don't understand, but yet we treasure. And he walks with us from that moment. Because that's what it says he did with Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary and Joseph asked him about the anxiety. We all do the same thing. We blame God for the times we find ourselves in difficult spots. In fact, Mary and Joseph blame Jesus for not being with them. Now, there's nothing in this story that says Jesus was disobedient to his parents. There's nothing in the story that says that they told Jesus they were leaving. It just simply says they gathered together and they went, and Jesus lingered behind. Now, when Jesus lingered behind, does that mean he was disobedient to his parents? Well, obviously not. He could still die for our sins. But you see, what Mary did here is Mary immediately blamed Jesus for her problem. Now, I'm not saying Mary was a sinner in this. Mary did what we all do. We question God and why we find ourselves in the circumstances that we do. Mary questioned Jesus and said, your Father and I have been worried. Why would you cause us worry? And Jesus responds with the general answer. He responds with the, you should have known where I was. He responds by putting it back to her and saying, didn't you know where I would be? Didn't you know what I'm about? Didn't you know the reason I came? You of all people should know why I'm here. Because I have to be about my Father's business. You carried me because God called you to carry me. I mean, no, he didn't say all those words. But in reality, is that not what we're looking at here? We're looking at Mary calling Jesus out saying, your Father and I have been worried. Well, number one, he reminds her of who his Father really is. That might have been a hard place for Joseph to be. Now, Joe and I had a conversation one Wednesday night about this, about the fact that this is the last time that you really see Joseph as part of Jesus' life. This is the last time. I mean, did Jesus cause Joseph to worry himself to death? I don't know. I doubt it. What probably happened, though, is because you're known by who your Father is, and the fact that Jesus kept calling God his Father in ministry, for the lack of confusion, I guess maybe Joseph was removed from the equation by that point. Not saying that Joseph, but I mean, he would have been probably, I think we figured up maybe in his 70s by the time Jesus started his ministry. But that's neither here nor there. What it is that here we see that Mary calls Joseph his father, and Jesus says, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? See, one of the things that makes this story so memorable and delightful is the picture of Mary and Joseph searching for Jesus. Now, she may have directed her blame at Jesus when she found him, but think about this for a moment. Can you imagine being entrusted with the Son of God and all of a sudden you look around and he's not there? Can you imagine being the one that God trusted with the life of your son on this earth and all of a sudden he's not there and you have no idea where he is? I mean, how frantically do you search for your children or your pets or your family members when you can't find them? Imagine if that was the Son of God. And you're, I mean, now our love for our children should be the same as that of Mary and Joseph. But think about it for a moment. You're saying, God trusted me with this. God made sure that I would take care of his son. And now all of a sudden I've lost him. And he's in Jerusalem. And I have no idea where he's at. and he's not with our family. He's not here. He's not there. I mean, you can see him looking all over Jerusalem. 3 days of sleepless and sorrowful effort. 3 days they searched for him. It doesn't say they stopped. Hey, has anybody ever stayed up for 3 days? Has anybody ever been at that? I have. I have, and I regret every minute of it. But have you ever gone for 3 days straight without sleep? It's a difficult thing to do. Which may explain why Mary's response to Jesus was what it was. We're tired. We're hungry. We've not slept in days. And here you are in the temple. It doesn't say that Jesus sat in the temple for 3 days talking. Jesus probably went home with somebody. He's like, well, mom and dad must have gone on. I guess I'll find my way later. At this point, though, he wanted to teach. He wanted to learn. He wanted to grow. Now, they realize that he stayed behind on purpose, which kind of upsets them. But then they realize, too, he says, you didn't need to worry. Didn't you know where I would be? Didn't you know I would be taken care of? I'm in my Father's house right here where I'm supposed to be. Now, it's almost like Jesus is saying, I understand your concern, but you've gone about this the whole wrong way. But then when he says that, he says, you've made it much. I mean, he's in essence saying you made it harder than it was. You went out on this. You did this. You did that. You did all these things. All they had to do when they were leaving was say, come on. And Jesus would have gone. All they had to do was say, we're leaving. Let's go. And Jesus would have gone. It raises a question of whether there is a right way or a wrong way to find Christ again. And the answer, I don't know. I don't know that there's a right way to do it, but I do know the wrong way, and that is to search for him in all the wrong places. If we're searching for Christ today, you're not going to find him in a bar. You're not going to find him in your drug dealer's house. You're not going to find him in places that he doesn't belong. You're not going to find him in the midst of the world. You're not going to find him in the midst of your travels. You're not going to find him anywhere but where you left him. And that is in God's house. That is in God's word. That is in the midst of his leadership in your life. That is in the relationship that you have. It is true that Christ is missing from our lives, and we will not find him until we get out of the dark. We won't find him until we understand that sin casts a dark shadow on our lives. You see, have you ever gone in a... Well, Spruce Pine lost power last week sometime. I think it was Thursday night. They had a main line go out. Everything went dark. And I saw people were talking about how dark it was from Spruce Pine to Green Mountain or to different places of that nature. And I got to thinking about it, and it goes right along with this. Think about sin. Think about sin as the night the lights go out. You remember the night that the lights went out here? It was a Saturday night. And they were at most of the night because of that main line going out. When that went out, when the power went out that night, it got dark, and it got dark in a hurry. And yeah, we might have had a flashlight on our cell phone or a flashlight on a keychain, and we could shine that little bit of light in the darkness, and we can see where our steps need to go. But that's just kind of like the way that the gospel works. Because there's that little bit of gospel we've got in our life that can shine us a little light where we need to go in the darkness. But sin is like that darkness. When sin takes hold in your life, the lights go out and there is nothing but darkness. You stumble over the couch, you stumble over the chair, you stumble over the things, even if you know where they are. Have you ever tried to walk through your living room in the dark without turning on a light? Oh, I know the way around this place. But let's say, Lamar, I'm sure your furniture's been in a similar pattern for a long time, so you probably know your way through it. But what if one night Brenda got a little happy and decided to move everything in the living room, and then you go through there thinking everything's arranged the way that it was in the dark, but you're in the dark? You're probably walking into something, right? All right. I mean, has anybody ever done that to themselves, not to someone else? My grandmother used to do that. She would move the furniture about once every month or two. And I used to listen to the stories that my grandpa would tell about walking through to go to the restroom in the middle of the night. And it was always, you know, he would finally get used to where she had it and she'd move it again. But he didn't want to turn the light on because he didn't want to distract anybody. And he said the coffee table probably had imprints from his toes from walking into it so many times because of how many times. And then at one point she moved the couch to where it was a sectional. And she moved the couch to where when you walked through the door, you walked right into it unless you made it a little hallway and around. And that was probably a little painful for him too. I mean, there's ways. But if a little tiny flashlight, you know, even that would have shown him what was in his way. And even that would show us what's in our way. Just one verse, one scripture, that little spark that is inside us that we have love for Christ, but we got to let that little spark become the flame once again. And it may start small. It might be that we need it just to light up that one little moment. But as it does, and as we came in here one night, I know I showed Lamar and a few others about it, has anybody ever seen a picture of of the shadow of a match that's lit or a candle that's lit? And then you look at the shadow on the wall and all you see is the match. I mean, is that not what Christ is like when it comes to sin? Is that not how it plays out when it comes to the sin in our lives? Is that there's this darkness, but Christ cuts through. And that flame burning is light. Light doesn't cast a shadow. That's why Christ is the light of the world. He doesn't cast a shadow over your world. He's not going to make things darker and harder for you. He's not going to make things more troublesome for you. I mean, if you want to know the answer to it, just look to the light. Because the light shines with no shadow. It's where sin resides that shadows remain. It's where sin resides that keeps you from seeing the fullness of His glory. But when the light becomes alive in you and that fire burns and He shines through you, no one sees the shadow. No one sees the trouble. No one sees the things of darkness. They see the light because it's shining and it cannot cast a shadow. You know, He's not found while we worry and fret. He's not found in the evil of the world. Our prayer to God is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we look at the Lord's Prayer, just taking that one line, do we pray that every day? Do we pray, "Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Do we confess the sins that we have in our life? Do we confess that we need Christ? It's not... See, here's the thing. Do we confess that not always do we do God's will here on earth? Not always do we keep God's word. Not always do we keep things the way that we should, but there is a side of earthly existence where God should not be looked for because He cannot be found. We cannot find Him in the world around us. It's not to say that Christ cannot be found in our suffering. It's just simply to say that don't look in the place that's causing it. If you're having suffering in a relationship that is not of God, it's not God you're going to find in the relationship. You can't stay in a relationship that is of God, that isn't of God, and expect to find God in the midst of the relationship. You can't stay in the drug house and expect to find God answering your prayers in the midst of you continuing to live in that trouble. You can't find Him in a bottle. You can't find Him in the things that the world tells you you need to find joy and comfort in. You can't find Him in that fried chicken. And believe me, I've tried. I've tried to find Him in the midst of many things. And He's never been in the source of the problem. He's always been the answer. The point is if Christ is missing from our lives, we can find Him again, but we've got to stop looking in the dark, negative, and difficult places of life. So how will we find Him? Well, I think the lesson is that after we look and we look and we look, we stop looking and we look where He should be. We go to the place that we know we will find Him. That might be that you call a pastor up and say, "Hey, I need to talk to you for a minute." It might be that you call up a friend and say, "Hey, I just need some encouragement from God's word today." It might be that you walk through the doors of this church and you give yourself an opportunity to hear about who God is and who Christ can be in your life. You see, the struggles that we face in life can be answered quickly if we start looking where we know to look. If we start to look at the places that we know we can find Him. The spirit of striving, effort, and hardworking achievement used to be the spirit of America. It used to be something that we fought for. Now it seems that it's not necessarily that way, but there are still some that work really hard at not working. But it's still, you know, and I'm not making that as a statement. That's just fact. There are people that work harder than they would at a normal job trying to stay unemployed and get money. But that's not how it's supposed to be. It's not all about the handouts. It's not all about, I mean, we used to live in a culture that work was something that was valued, and it still is in many places. I mean, here we see a lot more people that are willing to work. But the reality of it is for Jesus, He wasn't hiding from Mary and Joseph. He was in plain sight. All they had to do was look in the right place. And the same thing for you and I today. It's not that He's hiding from you. It's not that He's trying to run away from you. It's not that He doesn't want to be found by you. Jesus is right where you left Him. He's hiding in plain sight. And He's giving us an opportunity. We can go to the temple. We can pray. We can do the things that need to be done. You see, the first temple, I guess, we can think about is the church. When we go to the church, the second, when they finally went to the temple, they found Him. The second would be the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. It would be rekindling that flame within ourselves. But Christ isn't so hard to find. We can look at the places that we know He is. And in these places, we encounter Him. And then the third temple, as I mentioned, is the Scripture. We can open up God's Word. And we're doing that right now. We can open up the Word of God and have Him speak to us. It's His Word. And Christ, remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is this Word. And when you open it, when you read it, even if it's the Old Testament, even if it's the Psalms or the Proverbs, when you get into the Word of God, this is His Word. This is Him speaking to you today. There are places you can find Him. Let's stop with Mary and Joseph at the end of that first day's journey. And let's just think about this for a moment. Let's take a moment to take stock of things. You see, Mary and Joseph had to stop for a minute, realize Jesus wasn't beside them, and they had to go, okay, where might He be? Are you having trouble finding Him today? Are you having trouble seeing Him in the difficulties of your life? Are you having trouble finding Him has your momentum been stopped in your Christian life because you've misplaced Christ? Well, stop with Mary and Joseph for a moment. Take stock. Take stock after that first day's journey. Let's call this day one. Let's call this that first day. Remember, I had the sermon not too long ago. Is it day one or one day? Well, which one is it? Are you taking a look at the fact that today's the end of day one? Today is the end of day one, and we've got to take stock of where we stand. Take stock of who we are, and take stock of where our life is. Look for Christ. Where you left Him? He's in the temple. He's in the Scripture. He's in the friends that can remind you of God's Word. He's in the Holy Spirit at work in your life. He is in all the places He's always been. He is in all the places that He's always been. And He's never left you. He promised us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He promised us that He would send us a helper. If Christ has gone missing in your life, I hope that God allows you to find Him again. I hope that you find Him where you left Him. In the church, in the Word, in the friends. Turn your heart and He'll be there. He'll be right there. I told someone not too long ago, they asked me, they said, how in the world do I find God again? I feel like I've lost my way. I feel like I've lost everything about who I am. I feel like I was so on fire. And my response to them, I just simply looked at them and I said, look, the first thing you got to do is realize that He never left. He never walked away from you. He never pushed you to the wayside. He never forgot who you were. And in fact, He's probably been walking side by side with you the whole time. But he's just not in your sights because you've been distracted by everything else. Turn around and hug him and tell him you're tired of walking alone, even though you haven't been. Because the reality is he's right behind you. If you're the one that did the 180 and started walking away, he pursues us. He's been right behind you the whole time. If you truly had a love for God in the beginning, then Christ has been there with you from day one. And all you need to do is turn around and realize he's never been gone. He's never left. He's just not been in the circumstances that you've wanted to be in. He's just sort of stood on the sideline waiting for you to realize the mistake you were making. And he's just been waiting on that moment like the prodigal son's father for you to come walking back down that road. And he's going to run and meet you and say, I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you figured these things out. I'm glad, you know what, let's go throw a party because you have come back. And let's get you the rings and the fancy clothes and the biggest dinner. Like, you know, he's not going to treat us any differently than he did before. Don't come back in thinking, well, I did all this, I did that. He ain't going to forgive me. He will. But it starts with you taking inventory and turning around. So as we leave today, I know, sorry. But let's not worry about the song. I mean, I think everybody here knows Christ. They know who he is in their life. But if you have a decision that you need to make or a conversation you need to have, I'm here, Joe's here, Lamar, Charlie. I mean, anybody, really. If somebody wanted to talk to Tammy or Sharon, or I pointed at you and said her name. I'm sorry. If somebody wanted to talk to Brenda, Brenda's a good one to talk to. Trust me, I have. I've called her up before and talked to her and told her what was going on, and the words of wisdom came. Well, honey, you need to take care of yourself. How many times have you told me that? I listened yesterday. I did. I did listen yesterday, but it wasn't by choice. I had to. My body listened. I was still not on board right away. And then when I woke up 4 hours later, I was going, what happened? But we need to understand today that he's never left us. He's never going to leave us. He's never forsaken us. We're the ones that forsook him. So as we leave today, just remember that. There will be no church tonight. We talked about that. And with what might come this afternoon, I think we'll just leave it at that. So I've heard the ice sliding around up there a little bit, I think.